Welcome to the fourth episode of The Void of Literature.
I'm Nick, and this is Elijah. Today we will be discussing Lord of the Flies by William Golding.
Quickly, before we start, today we are drinking New York Breakfast, which is a tea from T2. It is a black tea with a quite heavy vanilla taste and a bit of cinnamon.
And I like it. I'm not sure about your opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I've had better teas, but, like, it's still good.
All right, let's get started with the fourth episode of The Void of Literature.
So, Nick, what's so good about Lord of the Flies?
Well, the first thing that is good about Lord of the Flies is it's a good message or a good lesson. It shows reality, like, kind of people, like, kind of hide behind this illusion of a fake reality, but it shows reality, and the person who wrote it, William Golding, also, like, faced reality when doing this. So he, like, embraced what humankind was, but I think also, while it shows reality, it shows that we can also be better, given that we're removed from this scenario and we're writing about it rather than him writing about it because this is what's happening in the world and he wants to document it.
Yeah, I think William Golding does a really good job at portraying reality, as if you look at other fairy tales with, or like books with kids by themselves, it's always like they find a good way to work it out together and they just do well with each other, when really it'll be like, oh no, they're fighting each other and it'll just be really a mess. And I think William Golding does a really good job at showing reality, that things aren't really what things say they are. And I think it's a quite good lesson to teach us that not everything in fairy tales are true, and sometimes you just have to face reality and just embrace what is actually true.
Yeah, I agree with that. The second point is that it has good mystery. It has great suspense, so it kind of builds up that tension in a tense scene until the point where you just are like, come on, find a solution already. Like, because it's just so tense that you want there to be a solution. And you also want to keep reading because you think they're going to find that solution. There are also good unknown aspects, for like things you don't quite understand at the beginning. Because if you understand how the world works completely at the beginning, there's no mystery and there's no reason to read if you understand everything. And I think this is really good because it hooks the reader, draws them into the world. And then after that, you can explain what's actually going on.
Yeah. Mystery is very good, as sometimes you never know what's going to happen next. It's a big mystery. It could be this person wins, that person loses. You never know. As William Golding does a really good job at equaling out the sides and never exactly showing you which side is definitely going to win. And I agree with Nick's unknown aspects part, as some parts is like can be confusing at the start when you first hear it, but then at the end of the bit, it can be like a moment of understanding, like, oh, so that's what that means. And I think the mystery and suspense in the book is quite good and quite entertaining.
Yeah, I agree with that. As well as that, there's a great backstory. Like, there's a reason the scenario is as it is, not just you accepting, oh, this is how it is now, cool. Rather, it shows a real-life scenario that could happen, maybe not in the exact way that he portrays it, but essentially, the world has a good reason to be there, and it links to the real world, as well as that the characters are introduced really well, as in, he shows them, the reader, the characters, slowly, one by one, rather than just ambushing them with like tens of thousands of characters at once. They show what the character's about and what their personality's like, and then they move on to the next. So I think that works really well because it's not overwhelming the reader and swamping them with information.
Yeah, I agree with that. William Golding does a really good job at introducing characters. Even the smaller characters have at least a bit of introduction, but the main characters and the bigger characters have actually quite good introductions, and just you really know their personality, what they are like, and just very little things. Like one of the characters, they won't normally tell you like they have asthma or something, but one of the characters, one of their major parts is that they have asthma, and I think William Golding did a really good job putting a thing that would not be as important to a normal boring fairy tale or storybook and made it a very important aspect of the story. And I think these little details are very good.
While The Lord of the Flies is a great book, no book is perfect, as we keep saying. Can you tell us about this, Elijah?
Sure. The first thing that isn't really good is that a part of Lord of the Flies is not appropriate for younger children. As earlier we said that it shows reality and faces reality, sometimes reality can be a bit, you know, violent, scary, not appropriate, and for younger children, it can be a bit big and just, it's just not for smaller children, as the violence can sometimes get like really bad and people killing each other for stupid reasons. And while it's realistic, it's not exactly appropriate. And a part of it is scary, as there's this character who hallucinates something that isn't exactly appropriate. It's a quite scary and can be bad for little children.
Yeah, I agree with that. While it's a good book, it's not for, I would say, K to 2. Because even if they're a great, like there's a great reader in K to 2 who can read good books, it's probably just not appropriate for them.
Another thing that isn't so great is that the book is quite convoluted. Parts of it is, though earlier we did say the unknown aspects that get solved later, not everything in the book actually gets like directly spoken to you, and some parts you just work out yourselves, and that might be a bit hard for some people, especially younger people. Like, older than Cater 2, but not, doesn't have that much understanding yet. And it's a bit hard to understand for some, and that might scare away readers who just want an easy-to-read book. And the book can be a bit strange, as I mentioned earlier about that, about some killing parts. It's like, it's strange how they do this, and it's like, is that really reasonable? Is that really what they should have done? Is that really following logic and things like that? And I think being convoluted can damage the book a bit and scare away some readers.
Well, it's convoluted, which brings us back to Jolkin Rokin Rokin Tolkien.
Oh no.
Because his books, while also being all about walking, the main thing I think about his books is they're quite boring for the most part. And so therefore, being convoluted makes it boring because you're just trying to grasp what the author is trying to say, but the author's not telling you like directly what he wants to say. So therefore, it's kind of boring when the author's not actually bringing you into the world because you can't understand what the world's actually about. So therefore, Jolkin Rokin Rokin Tolkien again you can find a trace of him in every author.
Yeah, he seems to be appearing everywhere now. And I agree with the idea that it's boring, as if you don't understand something, it can be like, can you please just get to the part where I actually understand and will like to read? And being boring makes it Jokin Rokin Rokin Token. And no one likes Jokin Rokin Rokin Token because it's boring and hard to read.
And now here's the blurb from Lord of the Flies. A plane crashes on a desert island. The only survivors are a group of schoolboys. By day, they explore the dazzling beaches, gorging fruit, seeking shelter, and ripping off their uniforms to swim in the lagoon. At night, in the darkness of the jungle, they are haunted by the nightmares of a primitive beast. Maybe that will convince you to read it. I'm going to rate this book 6 out of 10, because it's pretty good, but it's kind of just a bit out there. And like, while I'm all for kind of abstract books, it's like just a bit too hard to understand at times. And it's like, there's a jump that the author expects you to follow, but sometimes is easy for the author to follow, but not so easy for the readers to follow. So I'm going to rate this 6 out of 10.
I'm going to rate it a 6.5 out of 10. While it is a very good book with some really good action parts, a lot of it's hard to understand and hard to follow. And judging that I read it when I was still a bit young, it was a bit complicated. And maybe if I read it when I was when I'm a teenager or older, then I think it'd maybe be a bit easier to understand. But for now, I'm going to rate it 6.5. Also, some of it's a bit boring, which is a part of not understanding it. And that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And remember to fill that void!